This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is 8:15 now on a breezy Ash Wednesday. Could be that way, but otherwise nice. Not as windy as it was yesterday. Ronald Serpas joins us now, as he does every Wednesday, to talk about crime in the city and so forth. And obviously, we're going to talk about Mardi Gras. Chief Serp, maybe you cook, do you?
I do. I love to cook.
Are you any good at it?
I'm very good as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there you go. My daddy, God rest his soul, used to make meatballs that, I don't know if you play golf or not, but they were about, I used to kid him if they were 90 or 100 compression Titleist and golf balls, and he didn't find it very funny at all. Matter of fact, he found it so unfunny he didn't make any the following week, so I didn't crack wise after that. You started as a police officer, been on a job how long with NOPD, and then went on to Washington and Nashville?
25 years with New Orleans and 10 years other places.
I'm looking at a picture here that Russell Honore posted. I'm trying to figure if that's you on a horse or not. Did you ride yesterday?
No, not yesterday.
Okay. Maybe that's an older picture.
I've ridden a lot of Mardi Gras parades as a police officer and then as the major in charge of special ops, the deputy chief, and as a chief. It's something that mounted officers that I worked with asked me to ride with them, and I did it, and I kept doing it for all the years I was back.
Somebody texted in and wanted to know about the history of Bourbon Street being cleared at midnight. And is it more of a, did you start that? And is it more of a show? Because it seems like, and I saw some texts this morning of posting people on Bourbon Street at 4 a.m. I'm just wondering if it actually is show or if there's a reason behind it. Tell me about it. Is it just a chance to take a bow for public responders?
Well, if you remember, my family's been serving the NOPD nonstop since about the 1940s. So in the early 1960s, my father was working on the protection detail with Moon Landrieu. The deputy chief at the time, Turner, and some other police chiefs said, what are we doing here at midnight? The businesses are kind of telling us they want to close. This is the folklore I heard. Mm-hmm. We got to get the streets cleaned up. We got to be back to normal tomorrow. And everybody's tired. So basically, the folklore was that, okay, midnight, 11 days is come and gone, let's do it. And throughout my entire career, and obviously through this year, it's become, that's maybe the history, that's the folklore. But what it has become is a great opportunity for everybody to take a deep breath, look around and say, what a great 11 days this has been. And the accolades from the crowd of the police department is always so important in my mind for the officers to feel that. One of the reasons we started lining them up. The original process was to clear the streets so the street sweepers could come in and clean, 1960s, early 1970s. By the time we did it in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 10, it is, for me, watching the crowd respond to the police officers as they walk through Bourbon Street, it's electric, right? You know, the streets covered by buildings that go so high, the noise shoots up all around you, the crowd loves it, the bars love it. I think now more it's just ceremonial thank you to the police and the police thanking the community.
I got stuck going home yesterday. I don't know what street it was, but it was by Walmart and Chapultepec. A big, long line of police cars, and I was a stop sign going to the police station by Walmart on Chapultepec. I guess it was after parade ended, but rather than being angry, and this is a true story, I got out of the car and stood there and clapped for him, because I don't think a lot of times people realize how much work and effort goes into keeping us safe during Mardi Gras. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. I'm just saying that people need to really appreciate NLPD and the work they do, and also, I guess, the other law enforcement agencies as well, public responders.
Well, that's you know, where you were is the Special Operations Division, and those are the officers that are responsible for forming up the parades, right, getting everybody in the same place, getting all the bands in place, and then blending them in together to create the parade. And then they're also responsible for disbanding. When the parades come to the end, how do you separate the bands out? How do you separate the floats out? How do you get the riders off the float? And having been a former Special Operations Division commander, it's really quite amazing how much work those officers do, because think, every parade starts and every parade ends, and there's a strategy at the end and the beginning of every one to clear it all out in a way that's reliable and efficient and safe. It takes a lot of work.
It does. I want to talk to you about murders, and inevitably there's a murder or two in the city during Mardi Gras. It didn't happen along the route, but I just wonder if that is because the police are maybe the bad guys know the police are busy with the parade and that kind of thing.
I don't think I would believe that. I mean, being in New Orleans for 25 years of my police career and being in other cities, generally when people decide they want to kill somebody, oftentimes they don't care who's around and they don't care what's going on. They're very heat of the moment kind of things, except for, you know, straight out executions. So I don't think it has as much to do with that as it has to do with two people got excited about something and they couldn't control their tempers and they took action. But one person had seen someone, you and I talked about it, I shot a guy in Baton Rouge. I saw him on Bourbon Street at Thanksgiving. Oh, I'm going to shoot him today. So I don't think it has as much to do with the police there or not there.
All right, I want to talk to you about Mardi Gras moving forward when we come back, and some observations I made yesterday. And you know the city, you know the police department, you know how it works. You're a native, so we'll talk about that when we return. Professor of Practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, consultant to numerous departments. You'll see him on CNN occasionally or other national outlets giving his opinion. Ronald Surpass, we're happy to have him. 821, Traffic Now, WWO. All right, 825, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, native New Orleanian, former head of NOPD, 26, I got that right, chief, years on a job? 25 years on a job. So here we go. I was at New Orleans & Company, by the way, thanks to them yesterday for all of their hospitality. And before I forget, thanks to Danny Miller, the engineer, and Chris Coleman, the who ran Master Control here yesterday. Great job. I didn't want to forget that. But I got to tell you, I talked to a lot of people on the neutral ground, and with no tents and no ladders and no porta potties, everybody seemed to think that that could be a good model for New Orleans. And I think we kind of discovered something by serendipity. The question is, how hard will that be to adopt? And I want to ask you about the evolution of Mardi Gras, because here's what I'm thinking about is I'm driving home yesterday waiting for the police cars to pass. Nobody had tents out until these tents were invented, right? So all of a sudden, it became tradition because tents were available. Well, let's go put them out on a route, and then it became acceptable. It seems like sometimes, maybe it's time to take back on neutral grounds. I hate to use that phrase. What are your thoughts on all of this about what you saw yesterday, if you saw any of Mardi Gras, and did we maybe discover something? And how hard would it be to maybe change something like that?
Well, there's two Mardi Gras traditions that I think we could talk about very briefly. One is using the neutral ground as a place for families who come every year to the same place, and they use greater technology like better tents and better opportunities to barbecue and all. That's part and parcel of the experience. It's like one big tailgate. This year, there were obviously some different concerns. My suspicion is government can tell people what to do to a point where the public says, we're just not going to do it, right? So I think that we will likely see that return because it's so part and parcel to the
family experience. See, that's what I'm saying. Here's the deal. Okay, so family's been coming and keeping their space on neutral ground for years, and I get that. But that being said, the tents didn't exist before they were created back in the 80s or 90s, whenever they became affordable and people started putting them out, and then that caused a problem. So how far back do you want to go where tradition starts, right?
But it's interesting that people find their way. You know, the tents are further back from the route. The biggest problem I had during Mardi Gras you know, people would bring their kitchen sets out from front of Demian. I mean, we've dealt with that every single year. What mayor or what police chief is going to start throwing people's stuff in the trash can? I mean, that's when it starts to become a bit of an issue. But what we did find the biggest problem with all the way through all of my Mardi Gras is people wanting their children to have the best view with the ladders. And that used to scare the hell out of me. Because those ladders are 6 foot tall, would be right on the edge of the street. And sometimes I think people were excited and not realizing if that ladder falls 6 feet forward, it's basically under a tractor. So that was the one that used to bother me the most. I will tell you, Tommy, and I'm sure people will disagree or agree, I don't ever remember having a problem with people on a neutral ground sharing that space, using lawn chairs, using the ability to barbecue. I never saw any fights come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see his fights come out of moving people back from the barricade line with the children on ladders. Now, that would get to be pretty contentious between the police and the public. But otherwise, people would get along. And I'm going to give you another Mardi Gras tradition. In the early 80s, when I started, the police superintendent and the fire superintendent would ride the parade route in their cars, and they would just look at the troops. And I said, well, that's interesting. A few years later, one of the deputy chiefs decided to start walking the parade route, and he did several of them, not all of them. I want to tell you, Tommy, the 5 years I was deputy chief and the 4 years I was superintendent, I walked every parade route every night, every day of the entire Mardi Gras city. And by walking it, you connect with the cops. You get to stop and thank them for what they did because I'm so grateful for how they handled themselves. And you start talking to people. You might remember when I was chief, they used to think that I was doing a dance on the parade route. And I'm sure other superintendents, they felt that way. But for the last 40 years, police chiefs, walking the parade route, interacting with the public and interacting with the officers is one of the most enjoyable parts of being the chief or the deputy chief during Mardi Gras.
Thank you, Chief. Looking forward to French Quarter Fest. Anything they need to do to keep people safe? Because I think, and I was saying this to Glade Bilby earlier, I think when it comes to people jammed into one location, French Quarter Fest could be more of a potential hazard than either the Super Bowl or Mardi Gras, having been to numerous French Quarter Fests.
It's a different environment, and you bring up good points that have to be considered, right? You have narrow streets, you have cross sections. So, yeah, you have to look at it differently. I think you're right about that.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate your time. Have a good Lent. Right. Good Lent, I guess. I don't know.
Same to you.
Give up those Titleist meatballs. That's maybe something for you to give up.
That's right.
Ronald Surpass, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. And I think the lesson here is before you crack wise about your parents' cooking, keep in mind, it might not be there the next week. We'll come back, talk to Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member, about the quarter and Mardi Gras. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. All right, 844, 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Windy today, not as windy as yesterday, and certainly, I guess, prettier, if you will, because
it's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could be cooler and not as cloudy, not as humid. Highs of 64 today. Right now it's 55, but feels like 49 with the wind. Up to 61 tomorrow. Plenty of sunshine. Clouds move in Friday. More humidity, too. Highs of 75, 74 on Saturday. Chance for showers then. But Sunday, as I understand it, the crew of Bark is going on. Well, we'll talk to Freddie in a second, see about that. And also maybe some truck parades. We'll see more as the weekend approaches. Highs of 65 with some clouds. Freddie King, former Shaw Eagle. Well, we were always Shaw Eagles, as am I. Joins us now, New Orleans City Council member, District C. How you doing, Freddie?
Good morning, Tony. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I met your beautiful wife getting gas the other day. Did she tell you that?
She did. She said she instantly recognized the voice.
Well, and I was just making small talk, just being nice, you know, because I'm a lot older than she is. I wasn't trying anything inappropriate enough, but come to find out she turned out to be, and she's a lovely woman. And y'all got how many kids? 15?
Five.
Yeah.
5 years, yep.
And I blessed her saying good luck to you with that, because Lord only knows what's the ages on a kid. It's Freddie, because it's very young.
Very young, very close together. The oldest is 9, and the youngest is 2, so we have 9, 7, 5, 3, and the youngest made 2 about 2 weeks ago.
Now I know why you ran for city council, just to get out of the house.
Look, city council is a cakewalk compared to the King household.
Yes, I would imagine so. Let's talk about Mardi Gras recap, because, you know, it seemed like we went from the tragedy of New Year's Day, and then, man, it was nonstop with the whether it was Super Bowl, a snowstorm, or Super Bowl, and then right into Mardi Gras. It's hard to believe it's March 5th already. French Quarter Festival, Jazz Fest, knocking on the door. Give me your thoughts about the quarter and so forth, Freddie.
So much has happened in such a short period of time. One of the first thing, NOPD, State Police, all of our law enforcement agencies, they did a yeoman's job of keeping us safe from New Year's up until now. A lot of folks don't just realize what goes on behind the scenes in keeping this city safe, because it's not just the French Quarter, the play, or the CBD, which is the highlighted part of the city, but you also have Algiers, you have the East, you have Uptown, you have Lakeview. So they've done a great job keeping us safe. I had the pleasure of riding in Ala and participating in NAMTOC, so I was able to see the parades from the... Sorry, say that again?
I said, did you? That's my old neighborhood, man.
Yeah,
Lauderdale
yeah.
and General Meyer, that's where I grew up.
That's it. I grew up on LaBeouf Street. So being an observer and a participant, you're able to see just how much goes into it. I saw police officers engaging with people, taking pictures, hugging, giving instructions, giving directions. It seems as if, and maybe it's because we were kind of used to it by this point, it wasn't such a shock to the system. You saw the tanks or the armed officers, but they seem to do a better job of blending in and not standing out as much, but also doing a great job of keeping us safe. You mentioned the French Quarter Fest, Tommy. I don't think folks realize, now get this, the French Quarter Fest, when it comes to the city, it turns the French Quarter into the third largest city in the state of Louisiana for that weekend. So it's just so much that goes into it, the police presence that's needed, the coordination that's needed, and that's next month. So our law enforcement agents, city council, our elected officials get about a month to break from large events, and we're jumping right into festival season with the French Quarter Fest. It's going to bring in about 1 million people just to the French Quarter that weekend alone. So it's a lot happening, but this city is built for it. We are the best city to host large events, and I think this year is showing that.
When it comes to, and I was mentioning this earlier, a couple of different people, security concerns to me, Freddie, when you talk about people being jammed into one spot, having been to French Quarter Fest numerous times, French Quarter Fest to me seems more challenging than does Mardi Gras or Super Bowl or even New Year's Eve. Thoughts?
I think so, because you have, again, over, let's say, about 250,000 people every day in the footprint of French Quarter. So I've talked to the executive director of the French Quarter Fest. We are all constantly in communication with the police chief on what's the next steps. Now, we won't have that federal Series 1 designation, so we're kind of going to have to just figure out with less, but done a great job so many years in the past. I think we've learned a lot from, not I think, I've know we learned a lot from January 1, our vulnerabilities, our soft spots, things we can do long-term that we've seen implemented for Super Bowl and for Mardi Gras. So I have all the faith and confidence in NOPD and our Sheriff's Department and State Police Troop NOLA Troop B that this French Quarter Fest will be as safe as ever. We're going to have a great time.
As you well know, the French Quarter is a neighborhood because those are the people that voted you into office. And I was talking to Glade Bilby earlier, and he was talking about gridlock on the streets of the quarter, especially when something like French Quarter Fest or something else happens. Is there a long-term solution to this, Freddie? Or I don't know if pedestrian only would ever work, or how do you define the quarter, or what areas have you looked into that at all? And what are the people that elected you saying they want?
So let me. I know the mayor mentioned the possibility of pedestrianizing a pedestrian only Bourbon Street or parts of the quarter. Like you just said, I don't know if that's possible. You have trucks, delivery trucks, food, beverage, linen, 24/7 happening in the French Quarter. I did speak to several residents, several business owners, and even those who work in the French Quarter. You can't forget about those who work in the hospitality industry. The consensus what I receive is that 100% pedestrian is just not doable. But there has to be some hybrid, maybe certain hours of the day, certain days of the week where you cut off vehicles. But to say that the French Quarter on Bourbon Street would be 100% pedestrian only, I just don't know how realistic that is, because one thing I was told, I didn't really know, when you have linen delivery, clean linen can't be on the same trucks as dirty linen. So that's just, I didn't know.
So
that's
either.
Just, you know, another wrinkle that you have to keep in mind when you say no trucks. So I think certain hours of the day, certain days of the week, but I did hear from members of BC Poor, Ms. Erin Holmes, kind of expressed the idea of 100% 100% pedestrian mall of Bourbon Street may not be the best route. So I think more conversation needs to be had. Anything decided, in my opinion, definitely has to come through the residents of the French Quarter, the workers of the French Quarter, and the property and business owners of the French Quarter, because they are the ones who make up the French Quarter.
So let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. That you see that linen thing you just said, Freddie, that's why people that think there are simple solutions to complex problems, I'm going to use that as an example going forward, because you don't know until you get into it, right? Until you literally get into the dirty linen. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:57 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Councilmember Freddie King, who represents Algiers and the French Quarter. When it comes to security for the French Quarter Fest, Freddie, and Archer barriers, and somebody texted in, said they saw different things for the Super Bowl than they did yesterday. Didn't the NFL pay for some of the extra Archer barriers? Do I remember reading that, or did I make that up?
So the NFL took care of things around the CBD and around the Superdome. So there were multiple different security agencies happening when you had a Super Bowl come in. So yeah, NFL, you had Homeland Security, and you had our local law enforcement agencies all doing different parts throughout the city. But if I could, just want to mention one more thing. Yeah. You were talking about the Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Talking to the residents in the French Quarter, Mr. Nathan Chapman, who was as well known as a longtime French Quarter advocate and resident, he mentioned something that never really crossed my mind. This is what you give when you talk to the residents. He said, if you start to encourage more and more foot traffic in certain parts of the quarter, which is not necessarily a bad thing, do you have the additional police officers to now be in those areas where you may triple the amount of pedestrians in a certain area? So like you said before the break, these are complex issues, and there are no simple solutions. So just to say, hey, let's just do this, let's just do that without really thinking it through, I don't think that's the best route, and you may do more harm in the long run than you intended.
Unintended consequences, that's part of being a leader, and you got to always think at different angles. Thank you, Freddie King. Have a good Lent, I guess. I don't know if you're supposed to have a good Lent or not. Or
Ash Wednesday.
My friend, let me tell you something. With five kids in a house, you've given up enough. You don't have to give up anything else, all right? Just take care of the kids, and you've got absolution. You're good. Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. I can't even imagine. Ages 2 to 9, I think he said. Oh, my word in heaven. Can you imagine what that's like? Mike Dettelier joins us as we come back. WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk.